Awesome. Okay. You know, usually once a year, Gary and I will travel to Florida, and we spend some time with our former pastor, Tom and Denise, because they spend their summers down there. They live in Maine, so you can understand why they would spend their summers down there in Florida, okay? Their winters, I'm sorry, they spend their winters down there. So we, once a year, we go and we just hang out with them because they're really cool people. And we always go to a different place, you know. We go to, this past spring, we went to the Navy SEAL Museum. That was awesome, really awesome to see. Last year, we went to Epcot. The year prior to that, we went to SeaWorld. This is a picture from SeaWorld, actually one of Gary's photos. And I don't know what you call it, but you know when you turn on your computer and your screen comes up? Screensaver? This is our screensaver. Gary put this on. So every day I put on my computer, and this is what I see. And so it's a great remembrance of a time spent with awesome people. But also, how many of you have been to SeaWorld? Anyone been to SeaWorld? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about when I talk about a spirit of excellence in their programs. It is amazing what they do with God's creatures. It is just amazing. Excellence. Just excellence. It's beautiful. And so every day I get to open up my computer, and this is what I see. Wow, God, you are awesome. You are awesome. But you know, ultimately, every day I look at these amazing creatures, and my thoughts will come down to this guy. Every day. And you know what? The encourager in me wants to say, come on, little guy. Get up. Come on. You can do this. God's created you. You're amazing. You can do this. Don't let your size or your weight or your inexperience discourage you. Don't be discouraged. You know, God created you. There is greatness in you. You're not a misfit. God doesn't make misfits. You're amazing. Keep on trying. Don't quit. Keep jumping higher. One day, I promise you, one day, you'll be jumping up there with these guys and maybe higher. Woo! God's amazing. He doesn't make any junk. You can do this. Don't quit. he's swimming with the big guys, you know? These guys are examples. They're examples for this little guy. You could do it. They're encouraging him. Come on up. Well, you know what? God gives us examples. He gives us examples to follow right in his word. And so we're going to get into this today. You know, today I'm talking about a spirit of excellence. Excellence, a spirit of excellence. You know, down at SeaWorld, they have amazing shows. Amazing shows. Doing amazing things with God's creation. Bringing out the abilities that these creatures have. And so, when I read through scriptures, what I just shared with you about that little dolphin, I hear God saying to us. I hear him saying, come on, church. Come on, church. You can do this. You can do this. I created you. There's greatness in you. My spirit is in you. You can do amazing things. Amazing things. Don't limit me. I live in you. You can do what I've called you to do. Don't get discouraged. Don't quit. My spirit is in you. The kingdom of heaven is in you. Release it. Release it. I've given you examples to follow. In my word. They're not there by accident. You are amazing, church. You can do this. I created you. You are amazing. My spirit is in you. That's what I get out of the scriptures. That's my opening. I just want to ask, is anyone interested in going back into the children's room before we go any further? I want you to see my dolphin pictures, though, before you do that. Is there anyone that would like to go back with Miss Angela? Ralph, you got to stay here. All right, we're gonna move on. So all too often, we, even as Christians, we can get discouraged, tired, weary, and give up. And God tells us, don't give up. He wants us to succeed. You know, he wants us to prosper. Kathy, can you put up our next scripture here? Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, and to give you hope and a future. God has good plans for you and for me, for everyone sitting in this place and everyone hearing my voice. That's exciting. If you know, if you're not excited about your life when you wake up each day, then you are not living to God's full potential in your life. You're not reaching your full potential. We can't settle for mediocrity. A minister was once quoted saying that if you were to go to the area that has the greatest amount of potential, you should go to the cemetery, because that's where the greatest amount of potential lies, unused. People go to their grave without achieving the potential that God put in them. They take their abilities, they take their potential to the grave. Because they didn't achieve it while they were alive on this earth in their bodies, for whatever reason. God has more for each and every one of us. Everyone. We're not to limit God by our small thinking, you know, or our fears or our insecurities. We're the ones that limit God. He wants us to be all that he created us to be. You know how we read about the Israelites, that they limited God. God didn't want those Israelites hanging out in the backside of a desert for 40 years. That wasn't his plan. They limited him. They didn't enter the promised land because of their murmuring, their complaining, their disbelief, their disobedience, their fears, their insecurities. Those are the very things that hold us down, hold us back. God is God had a greater plan for them, and they're the ones that didn't reach their potential. They didn't reach the promised land. Kathy, could you go to Psalm 78:41, please? This says, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They limited. How did they tempt God? They murmured. They complained. They had their eyes set on Egypt and all the food delicacies in Egypt, not on their promised land. You can read about that in Numbers 11. I'm not going to go into that. But they're the ones that limited God. God is limitless. He's limitless. But if we turn away from him like the Israelites did, we limit him. We limit him. God had a lot more for that first generation of Israelites. He had a land that was flowing with milk and honey. Land that had plenty of grazing area for animals, very fertile soil. He had greater potential for them, but they settled for mediocrity. The Israelites had been in bondage for several hundreds of years, and God sent Moses to deliver them, but they murmured, they complained, and they wanted to go back to their bondage. Only Joshua and Caleb were able to enter that promised land from that generation. And we're going to find out why. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They didn't murmur. They didn't complain. They had a different attitude. Kathy, could you bring up Numbers 14:24? God said, but my servant Caleb because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring him into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Now, that term for spirit, it's not referring to his born-again spirit. He wasn't born again. Jesus didn't go to the cross yet, okay? That word for spirit is talking about attitude, a mindset, a mental disposition to follow God fully. Joshua and Caleb, they trusted God. They had an excellent spirit. They said, we can do this. We are well able because God is with us. We can do this. They didn't limit God. They were walking in faith. And because of that mindset that they had, that attitude, that excellent spirit, they were the only two to reach that promised land. God wants you and I to reign in this life too. He wants us to fulfill our potential. Most people don't fulfill all their potential, though. They live below God's best. We need to have a holy dissatisfaction for mediocrity, for living below what God has for us. He's got more. And, you know, we can learn from God's creation. You know, a little mama bird who has got eggs in there, and you know, she's believing those things are going to hatch, and sure enough they do. You know, she makes her nest all soft and cushy, you know, feathers and whatever else she can find for her little ones that are going to be coming up. But some of those mama birds will take out those feathers, the cushy stuff, eventually, and just leave the sticks that are in there. She'll make it a little uncomfortable for those little ones. Why? Because she knows there's greater things for those little birds than hanging out in that nest. They can fly. She helps them to motivate out of that nest. God has greater things for us too, if we're not willing to settle for those sticks. As long as we're willing to do without God's best, we will. And you know what? We need to not just seek God's best just for ourselves, but we have other people's miracles inside of us. You've got them inside. If you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you've got miracles in you. We need to come up higher. A lot of people have a herd mentality. Stick with the herd. Stick with the herd. That's what God wants. He wants us to break out, break away from that pack. You know, he wants us to prosper in our spirit, our soul, and our body, our emotions, our mind. Kathy, could you go to 2 Chronicles 16:9? He's looking for someone to show himself strong in. He's looking for people who will cooperate with him. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. God found Joshua and Caleb's hearts loyal to him, and they were prospered. They got promoted. Not everyone is reaching their full potential that God has for them. But he has got a plan for each one of our lives, plans to prosper us, plans to give us a hope and a future. I'm talking about an excellent spirit today, like Caleb and Joshua had, one that doesn't quit when the going, you know, looks like it's getting pretty rough. One that trusts God. Those guys, Caleb and Joshua, they trusted God. They cooperated with him. And God selected Joshua to succeed Moses and lead the nation of Israel to the promised land. That's a pretty overwhelming task, wouldn't you think? That's pretty overwhelming. But because Joshua had an excellent attitude, he trusted God. He knew God wouldn't leave him. He wouldn't forsake him. He was obedient to what God told him to do. And Joshua was able to see miracles because he was obedient to God. You know, those walls of Jericho came tumbling down. He saw miracles. And he was able to rise to a place of leadership and fill God's will. Through his leadership, he was able to lead the Israelites to conquer that land of Canaan and settle into that promised land. He supervised the division of the territory among the 12 tribes, and he led the people to renew their covenant with God. That was Joshua. That was Joshua. We got a lot of examples. Another one, God used Gideon. Remember Gideon? He used him mightily. He became a military hero and a spiritual leader who delivered Israel from the Midianites. Do you remember that guy, Gideon? Gideon, he wasn't the greatest in his family, yet God chose him. Kathy, could you go to Judges 6:12? Judges 6, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. This is Gideon. Now, this is what Gideon, he's working on his father's farm. He's working with his hands. And this is what God said to him. The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. God is, he's speaking about Gideon's potential, about his ability to become a mighty man. In Judges 6:15, if you look in the book, Gideon said that his clan was the weakest. His family was the weakest, and he was the least in his father's house. But here's God saying, you mighty man of valor, Gideon. He's saying, Gideon, you got potential here. I got a plan for you. Come up higher. Trust me and come up higher. Gideon didn't want mediocrity, so he was dissatisfied with that, and he wanted God's best. But he wanted to make sure it was God who he was following. God told him to tear down the altar to Baal that his father had in his backyard. His father was worshiping Baal. That took some courage to do that. But he did it. He did it. He knew that God was with him. And God told Gideon to deliver Israel from the Midianites. Gideon wanted to make sure it was God telling him. He put out a couple fleeces, right? Remember the fleeces? But God was with them. He trusted God. Even when God told them to reduce his army of 32,000 soldiers, remember, down to how many? 300. 300. Why did he do that? Yeah. God wanted the people to know that I am with you. I did this. You didn't do this. It was me. And so the Midianites had 135,000 soldiers. They were outnumbered here, 450-1. That looks pretty impossible. But it was a glorious victory for Gideon and for God. Gideon was obedient, but he was just a poor farmer. He was a farmer, and he said he was the least in his family. His father worshipped idols. And yet Gideon became an effective, mighty leader who rose up to the potential that God had for him. He had an excellent spirit towards God. Let's look at another example. God used David. We had two Davids back at our prayer room today. David, he used David mightily. God didn't choose the older, more experienced brothers. He chose the youngest. Why did he choose David? Kathy, could you bring up Acts 13:22? I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will. Wow. So, you know, David, he faced Goliath with a sling, a few stones, and an unflinching faith in God. He became a mighty warrior in battle. If you remember, it said that he killed tens of thousands. He did great exploits. God prospered him. He became king of Israel, and he protected Israel, and he reestablished and strengthened the worship of God. David had no equal as king. The Jewish historian Josephus, he praised David by saying, "This man was of excellent character." David had an excellent spirit towards God. An excellent spirit towards God will attract the will and the goodness and the favor of God, like lightning to a specific spot on earth. It will draw God's favor to us. But as long as we're willing to live beneath God's best, as long as we're willing to live with sickness or lack or discouragement, we will. But when you get tired of it and you start to seek God, you will draw God to you. You will draw him to you. It starts with your attitude. Kathy, could you go to Proverbs 23:7? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You know, there are people in life whose goal is just to slide by. Just, you know, get along. Just work enough. Just do what I got to do to survive and to be able to play and just have fun. To party on the weekend. They don't want to excel. They're content to just live an average life. The average person is shooting at nothing and hitting it every time. That is not an attitude of excellence. That's not God's best. It's not just getting up, you know, Monday through Friday, going to work, coming home, watching television, go to bed, get up, go to work, watch TV, go to bed, get up. God has a lot more for us. If you're not excited about your day, you're not living up to God's potential. You're not living up to what the best that he has for you. Our average is so far below God's. So far below. He's got a lot more for us. He has a purpose for each and every one of you. And that purpose is to not just to float down the stream like all the other fishes. He wants us to swim upstream. But guess what? That takes a little effort to swim upstream. It takes effort to do that. Jesus told his disciples, you know, he kind of gave his disciples their directions. And those directions are also for his church. Kathy, could you pull that up? These are the directions that we've been given. Matthew 10:8. Matthew 10:8 says, "Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received. Freely give. Give what you have. You got it in you. Give it." Jesus told the disciples to preach that the heaven was at hand. Well, the kingdom of heaven is in each of us, right? That's where the kingdom is. If you're born again, the kingdom is in each one of us. Ralph, you were at a conference last week. In one sentence, tell me what you told me. What was the focus of that conference? Can you give it to me? One sentence. What was the focus?
Unlimited glory. It says, unlimited glory, heal the sick, raise the dead, guaranteed. And it was taken out of Acts chapter 26, verse 8, which says, why do you think it's such a strange thing that God should raise the dead? And opened up Power School with a video this year where Dr. Charles Indefon had gone to Indonesia, and they brought a dead man who had died early that morning into the building that he was in. And here he's dead on a gurney, and he commands life in his body, and the man raises up. So the limits that we have are not God's limits. And so get into God, and you become unlimited.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Ralph. We can raise the dead. Oops, we've already done that. We've already done that. We can do it, guys. We can raise the dead. We can heal the sick. We can cleanse the lepers. And we can drive out demons. Because we have the authority to do it. God has a lot more for us to do, and he wants us to succeed. But in order to excel, we have to pursue it. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen automatically. Excelling is in life is not floating downstream with all the other fish. Even a dead fish can do that. It takes effort to float upstream. It takes effort to flow against the current of the world. It takes effort. It's like that little dolphin that I showed in the picture. You can jump higher. God created you to do it. You can do it because he says you can. We have another example. We got, there are many in the Bible, but Daniel. Daniel's another example that God has for us. He's not in Scripture by accident. Daniel, he was a man that was used mightily for God. He had an excellent spirit, an excellent attitude toward God. An excellent attitude, that excellent spirit will draw God's promotion, his favor to you, not a grumbling and complaining spirit. It's a spirit of excellence. It's trusting God. It's having faith in God and doing what he tells you to do. Daniel had a steadfast commitment to God. Even though Daniel's family was killed, Daniel had been taken into captivity, and it's very possible that he was castrated. You know, that kind of stuff can get you a little upset, but he didn't complain. He had an excellent spirit. He trusted God through it all, just like we sang this morning. He trusted him. Kathy, could you go to our next scripture? Daniel 1:9. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. God gave Daniel favor while he was in exile. He gave him favor. Let's see why. Could you pull up Daniel 6:3? Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to settling him over the whole realm. David had an excellent attitude towards God, an excellent spirit. That's the reason that he had favor. He had favor with the chief of the eunuchs. He could interpret accurately the king's dreams. Remember that? And, you know, he was thrown to the lion's den and survived. You know, just awesome, awesome. He found favor because of his excellent spirit. Now, he had three friends. Remember the three friends he had? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All four of those young boys were taken captive when King Nebuchadnezzar invaded Judah. And he just destroyed everything. That was 586 BC. That event was prophesied by Jeremiah. Some of the inhabitants of Judah were taken back to Babylon. And they were included in that were children of royal and noble families. That included Daniel and his three friends. Okay, King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to integrate them into Babylonian society. He wanted to change their identity. So Daniel and his three friends, they were brought to Babylon because they were going to teach them the Babylonian ways, their customs, their history. And upon arrival, they had to have their names changed. Okay? And the reason for that was to try to get them to forget who they were. Basically, that's why that was done. But Daniel and his friends, they knew their identity. Their names, their Hebrew names, were part of their identity. So changing their names didn't weaken their identity. They stayed true to God. They had an excellent spirit. Their identity was in God. All of their names had parts of God's name in them. I want to show you this. Daniel. Daniel. Hananiah. Use the microphone. Oh. Daniel, Hananiah. Mishael and Azariah. Kathy, could you bring up the next screen? Two basic Hebrew names for God are El and Yahweh. Okay? El meaning God, powerful, almighty, strength. El. Notice Daniel. Mishael. Okay? Another name for God is Yahweh. Yahweh. Isaiah 26:4 says, trust in the Lord forever, for in Yah, in Y-A-H, in Yah, the Lord is everlasting strength. Yah, I-A-H, is a form of Yah. See that? So those four guys had God in their identity, in their names. So when they come, you know, Nebuchadnezzar has their names changed. They changed Daniel's name to Belshazzar. Daniel, in the Hebrew name, means El is my judge. God is my judge. They changed his name to Belshazzar, which means Bel protects his life. They were using Babylonian gods to try to change their identity. Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious. Yahweh, Yah, Hananiah, Yah. They changed that guy's name to Shadrach. Shadrach means the command of Aku. Aku is a Babylonian god for the moon. Mishael in Hebrew means who is like El, like what God is. They changed his name to Meshach. Meshach, it means who is what Aku is. Again, the moon god, Babylonian god. Azariah. Azariah means Yahweh has helped. Yahweh. They changed his name to Abednego. Abednego means servant of Neb. That's a Babylonian god for wisdom. So they were trying to change those guys' identity. We're talking about identity, okay? We're talking about, you know, we know, if we know who we are, we can rise to anything. Because God is in us. That excellent spirit is in us. One thing that we need to know about having an excellent spirit is that we need to know who we are. And our identity has to be in Christ. That's where it's got to be. We can't allow the world to mold us. Kathy, could you go to Romans 12:2? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That word conformed, Kathy, could you pull that up? That is suskematizo. Say that one five times. That means conformed or to fashion like. Conformed to the same pattern, the same pattern. It's like being poured into a mold, to be conformed to that same pattern. We're not to be molded or conformed to the world's way of thinking, but to God's way of thinking. He's saying, don't be poured into the world's mold. That is, you know, a world of immorality, and we're not even supposed to be poured into the mold of religion. You know, not that mold. No. Poured into God's mold. What does he say? The world is constantly trying to shape us into their way of thinking. And you can see that clearly. Just turn on the news. Turn on the fake news. You can see the liberal media. Even on our college campuses, you can see it. You know, it has become politically incorrect to be a Bible-believing Christian. We are politically incorrect. They call us bigots. They call us haters. They call us intolerant. Then they say they are tolerant. But they are only... They will only include us. They will only be tolerant of us as long as we think like they think. If we don't agree with them, the attacks come. The viciousness is there. Remember Jonathan Shuttlesworth? There at Asbury Park. They came against him viciously because they didn't agree with his stand. And he stood firmly with God. So don't be surprised when someone who doesn't hold God's standards, if someone comes and opposes you. So just be prepared. God told us it would happen. You know, the liberals, they burned cars. They hurt people. They harassed people. They caused riots. They won't even allow a conservative to come on to the college campuses. Free speech? For who? Who's the intolerant one? We're not to be molded into their way of thinking. That's what King Nebuchadnezzar was trying to do to Daniel and his three friends. And that is nothing more than an antichrist spirit. Jonathan Shuttlesworth called it right. He called it. That's an antichrist spirit that was coming against him. He called it. He nailed it. He defined it. There is an antichrist spirit in America, and we need to know it. We need to be aware of it. When it rears its ugly head, we have to know it, and we have to stand like Daniel and his three friends and not be shaken. Daniel wouldn't stop worshiping God. He wouldn't stop praying to his God. He did it openly. He did it openly. That got him thrown in the lion's den, but... but God's favor was on him. He wasn't, you know, concerned. He wasn't harmed. And because Daniel stood for God, and how God protected him, King Darius realized that Daniel's God is real, and he ordered his kingdom to honor Daniel's God. He said this in Daniel 6:26: "For he is the living God." Wow! What a testimony. What if Daniel would have caved? That king would have never said that. And actually, he then promoted Daniel. Can you go, Kathy, to the next one? Daniel 6:28. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. A spirit of excellence promotes you. It does. God promoted him. Instead of worshiping the Babylonian gods, Daniel and his three friends, they stood for the creator of the universe. They held on to their identity. They ended up, you know, those three friends, they ended up in a fiery furnace. But did they end up there alone? No, no. One that looked like the Son of God showed up in that furnace with them and kept them safe. They didn't even smell like smoke. Woo! They had an excellent spirit towards God. They were sold out. And because of that spirit, they drew the favor of God towards them. King Nebuchadnezzar said their God did it. He also testified. Kathy, can you go to the next scripture, Daniel 3:28? Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him." That was the testimony by that king. And then he also declared that no one could speak against their God, or they would be cut in pieces and their houses would be burned. I mean, this guy was obviously moved by the power of God. And then, Kathy, could you go to Daniel 3:30? Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. An excellent spirit, it'll promote you. We need to find our identity. It's got to be in Christ. Our total worth has to be in him and not in ourselves and not in the things that, not in our accomplishments. We need to know who we are. We need to know whose we are. We got to know who's in us. Paul said it this way. In Philippians 3:8-9, he said, he counts all the things that he accomplished as what? Dung. What's dung? Woo! It is poop. It is rubbish. It is yuck. All of his things, it is yuck. And then in verse 9, he says that he wants to be found in Christ, not in his righteousness, not in his own righteousness. Our righteousness is his filthy rags. He wants to be found in Christ. You know, God himself is excellent. He's excellent. And if you're born again, he lives in every one of you. Everyone. So if you're born again, you have an excellent spirit in you. But it does have to be released in your life, right? Got to be released. And when we understand that, that he lives in us and that he's excellent, when we identify with him and what he's placed in us, that'll cause us to reflect that excellence in our attitude, in our actions. We won't act like the tail. We'll know we're the head. We won't live on barely get along street. We won't live in Grumble Alley. We all have all that he has provided. An excellent attitude towards God draws the favor of God. He promotes us. I need some help to pass these out. We're gonna activate this. You guys all believe what I said? Amen. Pass them out. Pass them out. We're gonna activate it right now. We've done it before. I want you to, we're gonna do it again. I don't know. Nebuchadnezzar obviously referred to their Those are their Babylonian names. He referred to their Babylonian names. They never lost their identity, though. Their identity was in who they are. All right, y'all got one? I handed these out before. We're doing it again. This is used by permission from Rodney Hogue, who is coming in October. It's just an identity statement. You can make up your own identity statement. I had my own when I was seeking healing. I had my own identity statement to speak every day. And it was just scripture, okay? So I want you to stand and speak this with me. Stand up. This is who you are. Stand up. We're declaring it. We're decreeing it. Say it with me. I am a child of the King. I am co-heir with Jesus. All Jesus bought and paid for is my inheritance. I am united with Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I died with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him. I am seated with him in the heavenlies, far above all rule, all authority, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Therefore, I carry the authority of Christ. I have authority over sickness, over sin, over demons, and over the world. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. I will displace the darkness. I have the full armor of God. I put on the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the helmet of salvation, the sandals of peace. I take up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, for the weapons of my warfare are not fleshly. They are divinely powerful to tear down the strongholds of darkness. I can do all things through Christ, because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah! Amen! That's who we are.